29.
Great.
Any cost in my soul.
That's where you want it. If you don't have it there, you don't have it.
To me the Holy Ghost is given, an earnest of the joys of men. Since he has taken full control, I Pentecost in my soul. I Pentecost in my soul. I Pentecost in my soul.
Oh,
thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Lord, bless today in the camp. Every day we come to you, Lord, and believe you to have your way this day. Bless down in the village. Thank you for good reports of the way you're meeting those young ladies. And we thank you for the dedication of the counselors and their love for you and those under their care. We pray, Lord, that the love of Jesus will abound down there in the village, Lord, and that you will move freely. And in their gathering this morning, we pray that you'll pour out your Spirit upon them. If there are any girls that have been holding back up till now, Lord, you can melt their heart yet. You can break down that resistance. Lord, we pray that there'll be a great move of your Spirit, drawing them after yourself. Lord, address those things in their lives that need to be addressed, the hurts, the disappointments, who knows what some of them have gone through, Lord. But Jesus, you know all about it, and we pray that you'll minister to each one according to their need and according to your great will. We pray that you'll bless the boys and girls in the cottage, and again, bless the counselors, fill them with your love. Lord, these little ones need such tender care. And Lord, we thank you for those that just love the children with the love of Jesus. We pray that that love will warm their hearts after you. And we pray that you'll speak to them, plant seeds into their hearts that will take root and bring forth fruit day by day as they grow into adulthood. Lord, thank you for each one of them. We pray that if there be any sick among us, Lord, we pray that you'll touch them. We heard some had fevers and things of that sort down in the village. And Lord, we just pray that you'll bring a wave of healing over this place. Just sweep over this camp, Lord, today. Make changes, Lord. Not just that they run their natural course, but Lord, we pray that you will intervene in such a way that it will be very obvious that God has stepped in and made a change. We let them enjoy their time at camp and their time of seeking you yet, Lord, without these hindrances. So we commit the boys and girls to you and pray that you'll bless them today. Watch over them. Thank you for your care over the camp, your protection. We pray that no serious accidents will take place today. And we pray, Lord, that you will just give us wisdom and much grace today. Bless all the workers. We thank you for them. We pray today will be a day where we see your glory among them. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Sometimes people ask me, so what are you? What is your church? Is it a Baptist church? Is it a Presbyterian church, a Catholic church? I always get a kick out of people that call me Father in the neighborhood. I went to buy a cup of coffee, and they said, how many sugars, Father? I said, I'm not old enough to be your father. Oh, you're a pastor or something, right? Yeah, I'm a pastor. We don't call them Father. I always, now, what are you? What is your church? Now, I'm going to tell them I'm Pentecostal, right? And I know that they're not going to understand that at all. They're going to think about the last Pentecostal guy they saw on TV and how much money he asked for and how he handled that snake, right? Pentecost was never meant to be a denomination, right? We're singing about Pentecost in my soul. You can be Pentecostal by name and not have Pentecost. It's an experience with Jesus. And so I always have to qualify. Well, we're a Pentecostal church, and then I try to explain to them a little bit of what that means. And sometimes I don't even tell them I'm Pentecostal because it really doesn't matter. I don't know that I think of myself as Pentecostal. In some ways I do, because Pentecost has a certain history connected with it and a certain emphasis that's very precious to us, and we should never be ashamed of that. But at the same time, we understand that there are misunderstandings connected with that word. And so, I heard someone say, wouldn't it be great to have a gathering among Christians where nobody told anyone what church they go to? We just loved each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. That would be kind of interesting. Because as soon as you hear a denomination, you start thinking, oh, you believe this, and you're wrong here, and we don't believe that, and you worship this way, and we worship that way. And I don't think the answer is to get rid of denominations. I think the answer is to get rid of the attitude. Right? And it helps to get Pentecost in your soul. And that's what we've been attempting to do here at camp. Get more of the Spirit's control over our lives. Opening ourselves to Him. Learning how to yield ourselves and invite Him to come and believe that He is taking over more and more in our lives. That those things in our nature that seem to rise up all the time. That God is able to subdue those things and cause what Jesus would do to become natural to us. When the Bible talks about we are partakers of His divine nature, it means that what Jesus would do and becomes natural to us instead of what has been natural to us. And we marvel sometimes when we see those changes in ourselves. We say, the Lord, I used to get so upset all the time, so easily, and now things don't seem to bother me as much. That has to be Jesus in me. And I used to talk back, and I used to defend myself, and now I'm able to take correction and submit, and that's got to be the Spirit of God in me. It's a reflection of Christ. And the more and more we're filled with the Spirit, the more and more we'll see Jesus reflected in our lives. And so, we want Pentecost in our soul. Sometimes people tell me, well, I'm non-denominational. And I say, oh, that denomination, okay. Because that's kind of what it is. It's just another group among the many. And it doesn't matter. You can put the name Pentecost on your church, or you can take it off. It doesn't make a difference. Sometimes people have done that. Well, we took Pentecost out of our name. Did the people start coming, knock, banging the door down? No, didn't seem so. So anyway, that's the idea. We need Pentecost in our soul. We need our own personal Pentecost. This generation needs to experience the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They need to experience that fullness of Jesus coming into their hearts and becoming everything to them, creating a burning hunger for Jesus in our lives. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It's His ministry to us to make Jesus real and make Jesus precious and make the things of Christ real to us. And so we need to believe God for that and not be satisfied with a name only, but to pray, God, give me my own Pentecost. I remember when I was living here at camp, I started hearing about Hans Waldfogel, and we listened to some of his tapes, and then I started hearing about Mrs. Robinson and these saints of God that were so lost in God and to such a degree under the control of the Holy Spirit. I remember reading the book Radiant Glory and thinking, is that really what God had in mind? To take full control of our lives? Is that what the Apostle Paul was talking about when he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me? And then I remember it was in that prayer room. It was a Wednesday, I believe, day of prayer. And we had heard a Hans Waldfogel tape, I think. And then a prayer went into my heart. God, thank God for what you did for Hans Waldfogel, but I need to know you like that too. We've all got to get there. That's the whole purpose of hearing about these people. Not so that we could say, I knew Hans Waldfogel. Sometimes If you knew Hans Waffle, then you should be ashamed of yourself the way you're not following the Lord, right? But we hear about what God has done in people's lives so that he can put that cry in our hearts and say, Lord, do that for me. I want to know you like that. I want to walk with you like that. I need my own experience with God. Have you ever prayed that way? I trust you have, and I trust you keep it up. You keep it up. It's good to read about these people and to read biographies of people that just gave their all to Jesus and how they lived and how they sought God and how God used them, because it helps us it reminds us that this is what God has in mind for us. He won't use you exactly as the same way he uses someone else, and your experience might not be identical. I'm sure it won't be, but it's the same Jesus coming in and dwelling in us and making us like himself. And so let's pray. God, give me my own Pentecost. God, give me Jesus like that. Make me to know him like that. And make it natural, more and more natural for me to be like Jesus than to be like myself. Praise God. You know, we try to find simple ways of expressing it. And you know, no matter how you express it, only the Holy Spirit can make these things real and in a way that grips your soul. And as we meditate upon these things, the Holy Spirit will speak to you personally and lead you on a path that leads right into the heart of Jesus. Praise God. That's a good song. Let's sing it. Into the Heart of Jesus. It's in our hardcover books. 324. Today's our day of prayer, so after meeting, those that would like to stay to pray will be, this room will be, will serve that purpose until 12 o'clock, okay? Waiting on God. We can pray with one another. We can spend time quietly in the presence of God and just dedicate this morning to him in that way. Okay, number 324. Thank you.
and love of Jesus today.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
don't think the Lord likes to do at Pilgrim Camp is he likes to help us to become hungry for Jesus. And often that comes about just by spending time in his presence. We get away from some of the distractions and the things that just fill and occupy our hearts and minds at home. That's why we have no TVs at Pilgrim Camp. There's a lot of reasons for that, but, you know, now the danger, of course, is that everybody brings their own TVs with them, right? Now, nowadays you can do that. Phones and iPads and all this. I think we should use that to a minimum at camp, you know. And just, Jesus is trying to unclutter. Is that a word? Well, let's make it one. unclutter our hearts and our minds and settle us inside and bring us into the place where we can hear his still small voice. He's wanting to create hunger in our hearts for himself. And we work against him when we keep filling our minds constantly with other things. And that's why at camp we say, you know, don't use those things only when you have to. You know, you're adults, young adults, old adults, and you know when you need something, and maybe you need to keep something on you for an emergency or it's an important call coming through. But I would encourage us to use that to a minimum. Turn that thing off once in a while. And use this week, days that we have left, to just let Jesus occupy you, your mind and your heart. He'll be able to create a hunger in you that will be like a magnet, that when you get back home, it will keep drawing you, your heart out to him. And just a little word of advice could be helpful to us. You know, we need to learn God's ways because many of us have a desire to know the Lord and please the Lord, and unwittingly we work against what God is trying to do in our life. And sometimes these things we can cooperate better with the Lord and get a lot further if we learn these lessons and are willing to. But we want Jesus to create hunger in our hearts for him. Again, like that magnet, there's a constant pull. We find that. I remember coming home from camp. I was never a camper. Turned out okay anyway, I guess. but I used to come up as a teenager. My parents brought us up. I think when they saw my long hair and my frayed jeans, they said, we better get him somewhere real quick. And so we came up to Pilgrim Camp. And Jesus began to draw me, put hunger in my heart. And I remember I went back home, and all that, for days after, I was homesick for Jesus. There was just a desire. I must have experienced something at camp without even realizing it, but when I went back home, I saw it wasn't there in the same way. And that desire made me get alone in my room at times and just pray and say, Jesus, I want you again. I don't want to lose what you did for me at camp. And God will do that for you too. He'll put a hunger in your heart that when you go home from camp, if you pay attention to it and if you yield yourself to it, if you don't ignore it, but you get away, pick up your Bible, or slip away for a few minutes instead of picking up that gadget and filling up the time. But if you give that time, more time to Jesus, he'll keep a fire burning in your heart. And we all need that fire. The fire of the Holy Ghost that purifies us, and so on. And so let's ask Jesus to make us hungry for him, and then let's ask him to help us to know how to let him do that. It's a nice song, Jesus, I am thirsty. You can see.
Jesus, I am thirsty. Won't you come?
Saying to you? How has he been showing himself in his way to you? Praise God.
The white book. Spirit divine, come in. Thank you.
Lord, empty our lives of all of the clutter, our hearts, our minds. It's not just gadgets, Lord, but it's our own opinions and our own ways and our own interests that just crowd you out. Lord, there was no room for you in the inn, and sometimes there's no room for you in our own hearts, our own lives. But Jesus, we pray that you'll make us willing to let you make us hungry for all that you have for us. Lord, we need that hunger. It helps us to seek you, Lord. We need the drawing of the Holy Ghost because we forget you so often and get occupied with other things so easily. And we're asking you, Lord, let the Spirit of God come in. Let the Spirit of God draw us in a new way, Lord. Make us very conscious that there's this tug on our hearts that's heavenward. And we pray, Lord, that you'll help us. Give us the grace to heed those that call and to yield ourselves, Lord, when the Spirit is working in that way. And Jesus, teach us to nurture that experience and that life. And more and more, let us reach out to Jesus and find him more and more to be all that we need. Thank you, Lord. Bless our young people here. We thank you for them and what you're doing in their lives. Thank you when they stay to pray, Lord. It shows that God has done something in their hearts and that they want you in a greater way. We pray that you'll do it for every one of them, Jesus. Continue your good work in their lives. Lord, we pray that you'll pour out your Spirit upon them and cause their hearts to be satisfied, experiencing Jesus in that wonderful way that you reveal yourself to us. Bless them today, Lord. Oh God, there's a few more days left that we'll be together. And Jesus, we can still really press into what you have brought us up here to receive. And so I pray for a special working of your Holy Spirit in our lives. We need that, Jesus, and we appeal to you to, in your great mercy, come to us. We thank you for it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody else yet? I just want to give that opportunity. But if it's not burning on your heart, then we'll wait till it burns, okay? Let's sing another song in here, number 68 in the White Book. I like that song, and I think it would be good for us to sing. That's not the song. I'm sorry, 64. I like 68 too. But 64 is the one I'm thinking of. Jesus revealed in me. Praise God. Would you like to stand? Or you? Sure, stand. Okay. Thanks. Praise God.